The Benefits of Communication. Written by Ushaz. Read by God of Laundry Baskets. It is rated teen and up, with pairing Asterion Will. There were many reasons Asterion was unsafe. Asterion had always been unsafe. This was not new to Asterians as a whole. And, really, despite the Mind Flayer tadpole and the goblins and the gnolls, he was, ironically, far safer than he'd been in ages. Sure, his chances of dying had shot up, but his chances of pain had shot way down. This didn't stop the constant driving fear that might as well have replaced Asterion's reflection. But, again, there were reasons Asterion was still, right now, unsafe. One, he was, despite his best efforts, not that charming. Oh, he tried. He really, really tried. But the more Cazador would do his corrections for Asterion not being charming enough, the more the charm fumbled in Asterion's mouth. The more his efforts became more faked, more obvious, more fabricated. He had to try harder and harder to remember what to say, had to practice the lines to himself for hours, which usually ended up with Asterion getting mocked by Petrus. And ultimately, the reason Asterion didn't get flayed more often was because drunk people were really easy to lure back to Cazador. Two, Asterion was, basically, a whore. He was a runt of a vampire, too. He wasn't strong, hadn't ever been, but was even weaker now with the tadpole, and worse, couldn't regenerate like he once could. He had no martial skills, and the other companions had noticed this despite Asterion's best attempts otherwise. He was learning as quickly as he could, but it was not enough because... Three. Cazador was out there, and he would be so, so furious. He'd already somehow sent the Gurr after Asterion to drag him back, and it was only a matter of time before Cazador found out that hadn't worked. He'd send more than stronger hunters, and Asterion was an uncharming core vampire spawn. The group knew about it, too. Even despite being able to walk in the sun, despite no longer having to call Cazador master, Asterion was running on fear. All the time, constantly. It had made a nest in his chest, savaged him whenever he started to relax, pushed him further, scrambling for any kind of foothold. And he needed one in the group. Hence, one Will Ravengard, a man easy on the eyes. Will was a monster hunter. He'd fought vampire spawn before. Not real vampires, but Spawn, and Asterion knew that his siblings were formidable in their own rights. Will was also so naive that it actually grated. But Will was charming, to the point where even devil horns only somehow made people swoon over him more. And, okay, Asterion could see the appeal because it changed the silhouette of Will to something like out of a storybook. He was skilled with a blade and with magic. And again, this could not be stressed enough, he knew how to kill vampires. So, when people rejoiced at a party, Asterion sought him out. Will was into his cups already, and the familiarity of trying to seduce a drunk person was almost grounding in a fucked up way. Will wasn't plastered, but he was definitely buzzed. Asterion considered letting him get more drunk first to heighten his chances, but he didn't want Will to regret anything in the morning. Asterion walked over and coyly took the wine from Will's hand, sipping it himself. Still terrible. Do you mind? Will asked, but his tone was dry. Will seemed to like Asterion's barbs, usually. It was still hit or miss some of the time. Will, occasionally, delightfully, would sometimes forget himself and barb back, and Asterion would be shocked each time, but in a weirdly pleasant way. "Didn't you hear me?" Asterion asked. "I mind very much. It's shitty wine. All the wine here is gods awful. You think they could have at least broken out the good stuff, considering we saved all of them?"
Yes, Will said dryly. "I'm sure that's the first thing refugees exiled from their own city make sure to grab. A good bottle of wine, first."
Asterion snorted, waving a hand about. "Well, surely the druids have some. I bet they have some great meads if they would only share. We got the tieflings out of their grove. They owe us."
Will sighed, looking to the side. "Look, Asterion, normally I'd appreciate this, but I'm really not in the mood tonight. You might best seek company elsewhere."
He really couldn't, though. Will was the most charming, and he was stubborn about his ways. He'd insisted on saving the tieflings, and Gale, Karlach, and Shadowheart had all folded to his decision because something about the right thing to do. That was the thing about charming people. They could persuade you to do things you wouldn't normally do, which Asterion needed. He needed whoever he buddied up to have sway in the group. What, bed Gale? Gale didn't have that pull. If Gale argued one way and Will the other, Will was going to win. Shadowheart, the same scenario, except this time, Shadowheart might also sacrifice Asterion of Tashar. Sharans did sometimes practice human sacrifice, or, in this case, vampire sacrifice.
"Then it sounds like I'm most sorely needed," Asterion said, letting his voice drop to a purr. "You did all that hard heroing. Surely you should get some kind of reward?"
Will gave him a strange look.
"I've never been in this for the rewards."
Asterion let his smile grow fonder, pressed in a little closer, let just the slightest touch of his fingertips trail against Will's arm.
"Well, I am. And perhaps I was hoping, after all my hard efforts saving all these refugees, to spend some time with you."
Will hesitated, and that was the nail in his coffin. Because it meant he was tempted by something, surely. Asterion just had to find the right angles.
"I do rather enjoy your company," Asterion said. "And perhaps, I didn't want to say this immediately and come off desperate, but it would mean a whole lot to me if we did."
"I don't mean to be rude," Will said. "But I thought you would have had enough of sex."
They didn't know the full story. Of course not. Even if Asterion found pleasure in finally being able to say what had happened to him, it was a balance of enjoying a free tongue and also keeping his hurts hidden where people couldn't press in on them. But also, Asterion didn't know how to sum up 200 years, the paradox of it, the horrors, the banality, the loneliness, the skin-crawling attention. Asterion took a swig.
"Well, that's the thing. It's all different when it's under my own power. It's my body to do whatever I please with."
And it was. What pleased him most was if he went to bed alone, but Will didn't need to know that.
looking forward to just being free, you know? And that was a truth. He liked to have a few truths worked in there. Asterion desperately wanted to be free more than anything else. It was a sensation that maybe Will could understand, with his leash being held by a devil. And to be free, Asterion would have to do a few unpleasant things. Sex was boring at this point, a rote act, far easier than eating putrid rats, less physically exhausting than all the walking they had to do. "I can understand that," Will said. So Asterion kissed him, because if Will's mouth was occupied, he couldn't find more excuses. And Will sank into the kiss, and Asterion was genuinely delighted to find out that Will's tongue really was forked now. The sex went... it went. The details were hazy on Asterion. He had, as always, let himself drift away from what actually happened, letting his body do the heavy lifting while his mind went elsewhere. He knew he played up his desire for Will. He knew, without even active memory, that he would find whatever seemed to get the most reactions out of Will. Mostly, though, Asterion remembered the slightest tang of disappointment. For all that Will was a gentleman, Asterion realized that part of him had hoped that Will would have just known, somehow, that Asterion wasn't entirely on board. That, despite 2 centuries of practice, Will's hero-ness would bypass all that. Despite himself, Asterion wanted to believe in the lie of the fairy tale just once. Will didn't. But Will did tell Asterion the next morning that the scars on his back were an infernal, apparently, and some sort of devil deal, so he was already proving useful. And if Will did want to cuddle, at least that part wasn't so bad. They had sex a few more times, and at the very least, Will didn't pry when Asterion began to pull away. He should have, though, and it was a bad sign. And Asterion would get sick, torn between having sex with Will again to keep him close, and then just not having sex because Will wasn't seeking it out. It was stupid. It was nightmarishly stupid. Asterion had spent 2 centuries bending over in so many alleyways and tavern rooms and that guest bedroom in Cazador's manor. What, now that he wasn't actively compelled, suddenly it was harder to keep up with it? But Will didn't stop the other things. They kissed, often. Will took him dancing a few times, just them in the firelight. And the hero-ness did make it so Will didn't trip over his own tail, not even once. And oh, Will was a glorious dancer, looking like some swirling piece of artistry that only existed for Asterion's pleasure. And Asterion didn't care for dancing, but Will enjoyed it so much that through Will, Asterion could almost see what all the fuss was about. Will laughed at Asterion's terrible jokes, but still told him no, they were going to rescue whatever sniveling gnomes were around. Will gave him gifts of books and fabrics and poisons, but he wouldn't let Asterion bite random passerbys, even if Asterion informed Will that they were chock full of blood, just extra blood, would probably burst if they didn't get that fixed. Will did laugh still at that, fond. It was the conversations that did him in. His siblings hated talking to Asterion. Cazador especially hated Asterion's incessant prattle. It turned out the only thing that would cause Asterion to be utterly, doltishly weak for someone was them enjoying conversing with Asterion. Because suddenly, Asterion was finding excuses to dance with Will more often. Because then Will would smile just like that, like Asterion himself was something worthy of the living art Will became when he was happy. Suddenly, Asterion was sometimes slipping wine out of Will's packs because he worried about Will's drinking habits. Suddenly, Asterion was digging through infernal contract law and arguing to a vengeful devil on why Will's pack should be dissolved. Suddenly, Asterion lost track of the whole thing, because increasingly, Asterion was taking actions that made himself less safe because, well, someone had to, for Will. And no one else was stepping up to the challenge, so apparently it had to be Asterion. But it was the Moonrise Towers that cemented Asterion's fate. The Blood Merchant was cruel, disarmingly so, as Asterion realized in that moment he hadn't been treated like what he really was for over a month now. They'd thought him a person, not an undead whore. But Araj knew better, and she had a potion, and Asterion didn't care, didn't want to bite her, but... "Excuse us a moment," Will said, and he gathered everyone outside of the chamber. Everyone instinctively huddled around Will, because, like Asterion had predicted, Will had fallen into the role of their glorious leader. Asterion couldn't blame the others. It was hard not to. Will was simply that charming. "We need that potion," Shadowheart said quietly. "With all that we risk, its boons are too valuable to pass up." Asterion felt sick, but she was right. She was. "So," Shadowheart continued, "how are we going to get this potion?" Asterion blinked, looked over at her. "Theft's out," Azazel said. "She already has presented us specifically with it. She will know who to blame if it goes missing."
"Good point," Karlach said.
"We could just kill her," Will offered. "We could lie and say Asterion will bite her, but someplace private, lure her into the side areas of the tower, and then kill her there, weigh down the body with rocks, and dump her in the harbor."
Hold on, Asterion said. "I could just bite her."
Will stared at him confused, as if Asterion wasn't making sense. "I thought you said you didn't want to do that," Gale asked.
"I don't," Asterion said, nervous suddenly. "She smells vile."
"Right," Shadowheart said. "So we kill her then? Asterion, are you willing to lure her into a dark alleyway at least? I don't want to risk Gale's skill in deception and illusion magics."
"She's working for the cult," Will said. "We're probably going to have to kill her later when we storm this place with the Harpers, and we've already been picking off a few people we think we've been able to get away with."
"It does grow suspicion," Shadowheart said. "They will worry about a spy or an assassin in their ranks, but by then we will already be gone. Anyway, are you good for the mission, Asterion?"
It was like a revelation had slapped him upside the head with the force of unprotected sunlight. Asterion was more than just his body. Yes, he'd used the only skills he'd had for 2 centuries, but Asterion had more skills now. He had daggers and magics and poisons and, dare he say it, friends, or at the very least, allies he could call on. He realized, then and there, he might never have to use his body again if he didn't want.
"Sure," Asterion said breathlessly, blinking a few times. "Let's do that." So they did. They killed Araj, dropped her body, and they went back and stole a bunch of potions.
They then organized a prison break on their way out of the towers, and Asterion didn't sleep with anyone. Not a single time. Will was an infection in Asterion, because Will had made Asterion hopeful. A single month of Will, and so much of Asterion was unraveling. 1 month of Will, and here Asterion was, daydreaming about his con being real, and looking forward to making Will smile again, and imagining how Will would react to things, and now... "Can we talk?" Asterion asked. Hope felt strangely like a barb in Asterion's chest, a sharp thing that couldn't break free without all of Asterion tearing with it. "Always," Will said, and he sounded like he meant it. "I have a confession. And at first, let me be clear. You've grown on me, truly. I like what we have. I want it to be real, but it might not have started real." Will frowned a little, suddenly nervous, body ever so slightly pulling away. "What do you mean?" The words kept falling from Asterion's mouth. "I had this beautiful plan, see? I needed safety and protection, and who better than you for all of that? So I had to seduce you, so you'd protect me. I didn't count on genuinely falling for you." "You do love me, then?" It was so tentative, but it felt like a rush of euphoria, because if that's what Will was focusing on, then maybe Asterion was more than just a fool. "Yes," Asterion said quickly. "Yes, Will, gods, you're the most likable, charming man I've ever met. You don't know what you do to me. But please understand, all I had were the skills at my disposal. I didn't know I could trust any of you, so I used my body for it. And then, with that blood merchant we knifed, I realized I could do more than that." Will wasn't looking reassured. He wasn't moving closer. "What do you mean, used your body?" Asterion bit his tongue. "Like I said, all I had were the skills at my disposal." You didn't want it?" Will asked, a hand going up to his mouth. I was willing, okay, so don't worry about that," Asterion said, because gods, no, he didn't ever want Will to think that he'd forced Asterion or anything. This was Asterion's mess, not Will's. "But I'm sorry, but I'd rather not in the future. And it's insane, because I do care about you deeply, but I can't separate two centuries so easily. I tried before to separate sex with you with trying to manipulate you, and I can't do that. Is that okay?" Will nodded slowly. "You slept with me because that's what you thought I wanted." "Yes." Will's hand pressed entirely against his mouth. For a second, Asterion thought he was going to be sick, and maybe he was, but choked laughter came from Will as well. "Please, Will, I don't even like sex," Will said. "We could have been having no sex this entire time." Asterion stared at him for the second time today, feeling like the god of revelations was smacking him with a stick. "What on earth do you mean?" Will laughed again, looking off into the Shadowlands like maybe they had answers, because clearly Asterion wasn't coming up with any. "I never have. Everyone always told me I would enjoy it eventually, but I always saw it as an act I would do for a partner because they liked it. But I don't really get enjoyment from it." Why didn't you say anything?
Pot calling kettle?
And then Asterion couldn't help it, because a laugh was forced out of him, too, strangled and hysterical. And here, Will ended up leaning against Asterion. They both laughed from the sheer stupidity of them both.
It seemed so important to you, Will finally said, reclaiming your body and everything. How could I say no?
Easily, in my opinion, Asterion said. But also, you know, now that I say it out loud, I didn't say no either.
Gods, had that been it? Had they both just been disassociating their way through sex this entire time? That was why Will hadn't ever noticed. He was also trying to pay as little attention as possible to the proceedings.
Well, Will said gently, since we are both idiots, let's start all over, shall we? I think you are the most charming man I've ever met, Asterion. I'd like to go dancing with you, and maybe cuddle around the fire, but I'm not really much one for carnal pleasures.
That doesn't sound the worst, Asterion said, and then he took Will's hands in his own, and the touch even felt good.
From now on, I'm going to need more than not the worst, Will said gently.
I'd like it very much, Asterion said.
And you're really okay if we never have sex, ever?
I'm more than fine with that, Will said, bringing up Asterion's hands to kiss his knuckles.
Well then, I look forward to not sleeping with you, Asterion said.
The end. Thank you for listening. This was recorded for Voice Team 2024 for Team Quawk. And as we always say with Team Quawk, quawk early, quawk often, quawk.